1 Timothy chapter 3 this morning. 1 Timothy 3. Let's pray before we begin. Father, we do ask that you would give us grace today as we look at your word. We pray that you would teach us, that you would reprove us, that you would correct us, and that you would instruct us in righteousness. And we pray this for the glory of your name and for the good of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. We've announced for several weeks the nomination of elders and deacons. And that's going to be this morning the nomination. The next week is the election. What are elders? Often in Mexico City, we would see a normally tall white guy and a short brown guy, just to put it like those terms. And they normally had on brown pants and a white shirt and a brown tie or some kind of a tie. And on their pocket, they always had a little name tag, and it always said Elder so-and-so. And it was probably Elder Smith and Elder Gonzalez, something like that. And what church or what religion does that belong to? All right, that's the Mormon Church. That is a false cult, because they have a defective view of who Jesus Christ is and of what he does. They have defective authority, because they add to the Bible, and their principal book of authority is the Book of Mormon. And so that is why that is a false cult. But we have elders in our church. And what are elders? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, "The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task." Now, if you have a King James Version, what does your version say for the word overseer? Bishop. New American Standard? Anybody have that? Overseer. Okay? So, overseer or bishop. And in the New Testament, those terms, an overseer or a bishop or the word elder, those words are pretty much interchangeable. And so when you see the word bishop, overseer, or elder, or even pastor, those are the same words in the same function in the New Testament. So your first space this morning, in the New Testament, an overseer is an elder or a pastor in charge of the spiritual care of the church. An overseer is an elder or a pastor in charge of the spiritual care of the church. Every elder is a pastor. Every elder is a pastor. And every pastor is an elder. I really don't like the designation of senior pastor. You won't find that in the scriptures, but elders in the church are equals. There might be a first among equals, but there are equals. You think of the Trinity. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are all co-equal in all of their attributes. But we might think of the Father. Elders in churches are equal, no matter their education, no matter their experience, no matter if they are full-time or part-time, no matter if they are paid or unpaid. All elders have the same requirements, all elders have the same duties, and all elders have the same privileges. And all should be taught by men and should continue on, as Paul said, entrusting the body of truth to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, our scripture reading this morning dealt with the qualifications or the requirements for elders. Where do elders come from? Can anyone who wants to be an elder be an elder? Can anyone that I want to be an elder be an elder? Some people might approach our times of elder elections and reduce it simply down to, well, who's available? All right? That is not a good way to elect and nominate elders in a church. That isn't biblical criteria. The biblical criteria is the only criteria that we should use for biblical eldership. Let's look at some of the guidelines this morning for elders. Number one, and let me just say, I had planned on continuing our study in faith and repentance this morning, but since we are doing elder nominations, I think it's very important that we understand as a church what we're doing when we elect elders to be elders, men to be elders. For number one this morning, for a man to be an elder, he must first have a desire to shepherd Christ's church. For a man to be an elder, he must first have a desire to shepherd Christ's church. Now, in a sense, this is something that every believer ought to have. Not a desire to be an elder, perhaps, but a desire, if you are in Christ, your desire ought to be for the rest of the people that you know who either to come to know Christ or to shepherd them in Christ, to help them in their Christian walk. We don't live in a vacuum. You don't, you're not converted by God to from sin to Christ, and then all of a sudden you're just on your own. No, God has designed a church, a community of people to live together, helping each other in our progress toward more Christ-likeness. Now, there seems to have been a statement going around in the early churches, something like, the office of overseer is a noble task, and some men ought to desire this. This is trustworthy and reliable, is what Paul is saying. The Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write this, and so he says, the saying is trustworthy. And it must have been a saying that they had heard before. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. It is always true. It is always reliable, and it deserves to be repeated among the Lord's people. If someone desires this office, they desire, what does Paul say? A noble task or a good thing. Now, we have two serving elders who have graciously and prayerfully worked very faithfully as elders for not just 3 years, as our Constitution prescribed, but up to the limit of 4 years. And they've done that out of love for Christ's church. They've done that out of love for Christ. They've served an extra year longer than their just prescribed term. And that's Dan Hickson and Jim Weiser. And the other three men have served similarly this past year. They are doing a noble work. That would be Scott Stabler, Alex McLean, and Tom Spence. It is without pay. It involves lots of extra hours. It's often when you have left after a service, they have stayed and prayed and desired to resolve conflicts biblically. They have heard missionaries' burdens. They have interviewed prospective members. They've taken a long time. Well, we've taken a long time to revise the doctrinal section of our Constitution. We meet monthly to pray for you, to seek to deal with any problems that come up in a biblical way, to take care of administration, to chart our spiritual course, and they have served well. Their job at times involves undeserved complaints. Our job involves deserved questions about our perhaps lack of communication or other issues where we can do better. And the job involves being misunderstood at times. It involves us misunderstanding people in the church at times as well. Our job includes times where we will make mistakes and where we have to confess and repent of that in something where we have fallen short. Now, being an elder involves speaking truth lovingly, guiding Christ's sheep to more Christ-likeness, and protecting the sheep from danger. It involves putting up with much weakness, our own weakness, first and foremost, and the weakness of the sheep. Now, often church leaders desire to come across as having it all together. None of us, and I'm going to let you in on a little secret, none of us who are elders have it all together, all right? I'm sorry to burst your bubble. Elders who give that impression, they do no favors to Christ's sheep. They do no favors because they act like they have it all together. If you have it all together, you don't need Jesus. And all of Christ's sheep, every single one of us is in great need of the Lord Jesus Christ, because every one of us struggle with sin and the flesh and the devil. Now, Those who are elders are not elders because they have it all together. One thing about true shepherd elders is that they understand God's grace. And they understand that people standing with God is only through our great Christ and through his finished work on the cross, and they want the sheep to know the same thing. But men may know all these things and not desire to hold this position of service in Christ's church, okay? You can know all of the things, you can depend on Christ, and yet you really have no desire to do this job in Christ's church. Well, maybe you need to be pushed a little bit toward that, and maybe you need to think about that. Is this something that Christ would have me to do? And then consider that. Now, on your paper there, what does the word aspire mean? What would you think the word aspire means? If anyone aspires to the office of elder or overseer or pastor, he desires a noble task. What does the word aspire mean? Desire. Well, the word in the original means to covet something. To covet something. Now, we look at this as something bad because who wants to break the 10th commandment? What's the 10th commandment? Thou shalt not covet. All right? But there is a list of things there what we're not supposed to covet. There are also things that we ought to covet. Covet earnestly spiritual gifts. Desire earnestly spiritual gifts. We ought to covet knowing Christ better, right? So there are things that we ought to desire fervently and covet. And there are things that would be sinful if we coveted them. Now, would it be possible to covet sinfully the position of an elder in the church? Yes or no? Yes. Absolutely yes. Someone grasping for a position. But Paul says that if a man covets the office of overseer, he longs after a good thing. Now, don't misunderstand this. Many covet the position because it will enable them to tell other people what to do. It's the bully pulpit, right? They want power. They love to have the preeminence. John warned about that in one of his epistles. Have nothing to do with these men. They love to have the preeminence. Now, that is not what Paul is describing here when he says, if anyone aspires or covets the position of overseer, he desires a good thing. Christ is the preeminent one in his church. And his glory he will not share with another man. Truly biblical elders love Christ's church and they shepherd the sheep toward the shepherd. There are elders and there are pastors who shepherd the sheep toward themselves. That is not biblical, Christian, Christ-centered eldership. So this is important for every one of you here today. You say, all right, I'm a lady. I'm a young lady. I have nothing to do with this, so I'll take a nap. Mike, when you're done, wake me up. No. You ladies, if you're a member, you're voting on this, all right? So this is very important. Young ladies, you will vote on this someday in a church that you are part of. Young men, you need to say and look at your own life and say, is this something that God would have me consider and help his church with in the future in my life? And men who are here today, you can say right now, is this something I could possibly do to serve Christ in his church? Or is this something like I can aim for in the future? Do you know what kind of man you should vote into the office of elder? Now, with an emphasis today in our country and our culture on externals, someone might vote for someone because, well, he's the more handsome of the candidates, or he appears to be richer, or whatever. We must vote for a man who desires to help God's people. Now, your next question. I don't know. That's not what I have. So let me ask this question first. From where does this strong desire to shepherd in Christ's church come? And put your finger here and turn back to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Let me just say, if that desire comes from yourself, that's not a good desire. But those who desire to shepherd Christ's church in a godly and Christ-like way, that desire doesn't come from themselves. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul says, he's speaking for the last time to the Ephesian elders, and he says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." From where does this strong desire to shepherd Christ's church come? From the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, if you desire to lead in a church, but you don't desire to shepherd as Christ did, you can be sure your desire is not from the Holy Spirit. All right, now we come to your space. Being elected as an elder, as a shepherd in a congregation, does not mean that now you will start or begin being a shepherd. Being elected as an elder doesn't say, okay, this is where I start shepherding Christ's flock. We'll continue. Shepherds show their love for Christ by showing their love for Christ's sheep before they become elders. Now again, all elders are called to pastor and to shepherd. And if a man does not strongly desire to shepherd sheep, he must not be an elder, no matter what a church constitution says. You know, our church says we have a minimum of five, or I don't know if it says minimum or maximum of five elders. But there has to be a working of the Holy Spirit to have any number of elders in a church. So first of all, a man must have a desire for the office of overseer. Secondly, a man must meet the scriptural qualifications to be an elder. A man must meet the scriptural qualifications to be an elder. You can turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 3 now. You might have a desire. It might be a right desire. It might be a wrong desire. But desire is not enough. I might desire to be the president of a small country, but I can't. Why not? Well, one of the requirements is that I have to be born in that country. And so even though I desire it, even if I desire to help those people, I am not qualified. I don't meet the requirements. So desire alone is not enough for elders. There are also qualifications. If a church places unqualified men into leadership as pastors and elders, the only result will be, what is the result? Well, failure. Okay? At the very least, it would be, or at the very most, it would be a weak church. And if men who are leaders are not affected by the gospel in our daily lives, then we should not be elders. These men may teach, they may preach the gospel publicly, but by their example, they deny the power of it. They blur and overwhelm what they preach by being unloving, by being unrepentant when there is sin that needs to be repented of. The good shepherd, who is Christ, is to be the absolute focus in every church of Christ. Now, if you preach aspects of the gospel of Christ, but your main focus is what we've been looking at in the DVDs the last 2 weeks and in our week six of our study, if you preach aspects of the gospel, but your main focus is rules or standards or other secondary issues, then the focus is not on Christ. And the church will suffer greatly. In fact, a church like that cannot survive long term without surgery from Christ himself, taking out the wrong emphases and putting the right emphases where they need to be. Now, Christ-centered leadership is an incredible gift of or from the Lord Jesus Christ to his church. Remember, Christ has given gifts to his church, apostles and prophets at the very beginning to lay the foundation, and evangelists and pastors and teachers now as he continues growing his church. Man-centered or issue-centered Anything else-centered churches suffer greatly because the gospel is relegated to secondary importance, not necessarily by the words that are spoken, but by unbiblical practices. The sheep in churches like that obey the rules that people put on them. And do you know why they obey the rules that people put on them? Because they're sheep. They want to obey what Christ says. And if someone says, this is what Jesus says, then okay. If we're not Bereans, then we'll just submit to things that are not biblical at times. They conform to the standard that leadership says they need to conform to, but they don't often have a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, at best, true Christians there are stunted when that happens. And at worst, the church becomes filled with people who don't understand the true gospel of Jesus Christ because the leaders aren't understanding and proclaiming the true gospel of Jesus Christ. The church is Christ's. It is not any man's. It's not a competition with other people. It's not a competition with other churches. Attendance is not necessarily a sign of a fruitful church. Your next space, a truly fruitful church is a church that is truly faithful to Christ. A truly fruitful church is a church that is truly faithful to Christ. And Christ may bless with large numbers, and he may bless with small numbers. But nowhere in the scriptures are numbers the sign of a faithful or an unfaithful church. I don't know how many times serving in Mexico over 19 years that people there or even pastors here from the States would write to us and say, or in conversation say, how many people are in your church? Well, last week we had 100. And you know why we had 100? Because we had a mission team. And everybody wanted to see the gringos. So everybody came out of the woodwork to see the mission team. And I remember at the very beginning, we'd get all excited about that, 100 people. And the next week, we'd be back to like 50. And that would be so discouraging. And you have to learn. I learned a lot of people come for different reasons. And the church isn't necessarily a good church because it's lots of people. The church really is those people who are in Christ who are being faithful to Jesus Christ himself. When the glitz leaves, the cream of the true church rises to the top. And faithful leaders are not sucked into the vortex that is popular Christianity. What is a vortex? Kids, little children. All right, a vortex is when you're taking a bath and you put the drain down and you see like the water going around the drain. That's a vortex, okay? In our world today, success, we've talked about Paul's philosophy of ministry. Success is, how many people do you have in your church? Do you have more people in your church? No, that is not success. Success is faithfulness to Christ and to his person. So what are an elder's qualifications? Well, chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 says, therefore an overseer must be above reproach. Now, the word above reproach, or the phrase there, doesn't mean perfect. If it meant perfect, every elder and every pastor and every church everywhere should resign today. One commentator says, this is a man, though, who when you watch his life, no one suspects him of wrongdoing or immorality. This, men like this give the congregation trust in its leaders. Men like this help the church's testimony in the church itself and outside the church in the community. Verse 2, again, must be above reproach. The husband of one wife, his family is in order, and if you look down in verse 4 as well, he must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? And I'll tell you, any person who is a elder in a church knows where they have failed in these areas. I look at my life and say, what am I doing? And we desire to be faithful to Christ, and this ought to challenge us to say, this is where you need some work in your own life. Or at least it ought to challenge me, maybe not you, but it ought to challenge me. Husband of one wife, a one-woman man. No man or no person in the church can doubt this man's loyalty is to his wife. He honors the covenant of marriage. Now it says in verse 2 as well, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable. Sober-minded is serious-minded. You can hear church services today, or you can hear sermons today where if it's 40 minutes long, 30 minutes is laughter and jokes. That's not being sober-minded. That's not thinking about the seriousness of sin and death and eternity. Self-controlled. Self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit produces not just in elders and pastors, but in every person's life in the church, in Christ. Not controlled by alcohol. No secret addictions to drugs, to gambling, to pornography. Is he characterized by losing his temper? Not quarrelsome. Verse 3, not a drunkard. Not violent, but gentle. Not quarrelsome. Many elders throughout the history of Christ's church have been short-tempered, have been violent. Does he control his temper? Now, do people respect him for that? The word hospitable there. They have an open life. They have an open home. They have an open wallet when they see there are needs that need to be taken care of. Now the next one says, able to teach. I didn't write the verse down. Now where are we in verse? I'm sorry. Verse 2. End of verse 2. Respectable, hospitable, able to teach. There we are. Thank you. Elders must be able to use the scriptures to teach and counsel with other people. I believe that this is to be done as Paul did, both publicly and privately, from house to house. Some men are not willing to get with people where they're able to help them one-on-one. So be careful about that. There is something wrong if someone only wants to be seen in public and they're not willing to get into the nitty-gritty with people and deal with issues personally. I heard a man preaching on this passage a number of years ago, and he said, how do you know if someone is apt to teach? So think about that. How do you know if someone's apt to teach? Well, his answer was this. You just know. I thought that was funny. They teach and you learn. That was simplistic, but it's true. Not violent, but gentle. Part of eldering is dealing with interpersonal conflicts. You know anybody who has interpersonal conflicts? Some men are not gentle, but violent. And I don't know if there's a man alive who has never blown up at anything. But what characterizes this man's life? Now remember, Jesus got pretty angry about certain things as he went through his ministry. And so it behooves us to stop and think, is there a righteous anger? And if I get angry, it's real easy to say I was righteously angry. But am I really acting like Christ in my anger? Or is my anger really because of some offense toward me? Is he a hothead? Is he constantly blowing up at sheep? Elders who are concerned with sheep know that the true sheep have the Holy Spirit. And so a shepherd can teach, he can encourage, he can bring the scriptures to light on a conflict that's there, and then sometimes he can just back off and give the Holy Spirit time to woo and time to work. James 1:20 says, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Because Christianity today is so man-centered, there are multitudes of pastors and elders who become violently angry when someone doesn't do what they want them to do. There are times to get angry, but fits of anger in order to manipulate is against Christ and his church, and it's against Christ's way for leading. Christ's church should not have bullies in leadership, and that has happened often. Biblical elders are not to be quarrelsome. Verse 3 again says, not a lover of money. What do we call someone who's a lover of money? Greedy. Okay, not greedy. They trust God for his provision. I remember when we were probably 8 or 9 years into Mexico, and we didn't even have offerings for the first 3 or 4 years because people's attitude toward money and church was absolutely, you would not believe the things that people said. So we took finally a time of Sunday school to go through the offering and what we would do in giving. And I remember it was just amazing. We were telling people, this is when you give an offering at this church, and they had done this for a while now. They had given offerings, and they were in the offering box, and people said, you mean you don't take money out of the offering? And we said, we don't touch the offering. That is not for us. And they said, well, the stories that they came up with of how pastors had just helped themselves to offerings, it was abominable. And it's no wonder that the world looks at Christianity and wants nothing to do with it in many cases. But not a lover of money, trusting God for his provision, not looking at the church as a way to get rich, not looking at the rich as a way to enrich yourself. A rich elder can lead Christ's church humbly and well. A greedy elder will try to manipulate the church to do things his way because he is a generous giver. I remember when we were on deputation, Faith and I would go to churches for a week, as much as we could. And there was one church, there was a very rich man who was an elder. And he seemed to be kind of manipulative. We didn't know anything about it at the time, but I had had a painting business, and when we went to churches, we just tried to help people however we could. And the wood on the outside of the church was in pretty bad shape, and it looked to me like it needed staining. And so I inquired, would you like me to stain the church building this week? And the rich elder said, over my dead body. I mean, wood is wood, and it just stays natural wood. Okay, won't go there. Well, we went back 4 years later, and I asked again, and he said, over my dead body. All right, we won't go there. We went 6 years later, and the church was stained. And driving in, Faith and I said, over his dead body. Mr. So-and-so must have died, and he had. Well, the point is that a man's financial status should not affect the decision-making in the church. It's common today to focus on reaching the rich. Christ's church should focus on reaching the lost. And that's the only kind of people that we should focus on reaching. Now, there are rich lost people and there are poor lost people. We should focus on reaching all of them. It says in verse 6, he must not be a recent convert. Why not? Because recent converts may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Satan's pride led him into condemnation. Elders must teach on this. Congregations must learn this, and the best way to learn it is not just to hear it taught, but to see it modeled as Jesus modeled it, servant leadership for 3.5 years during his ministry. Now your next space, the work of the Holy Spirit is needed in the elders, and the work of the Holy Spirit is needed in the congregations. The work of the Holy Spirit is needed in the elders, and the work of the Holy Spirit is needed in the congregations. Now, let's say there's a man who desires earnestly the office of elder. And he also meets the requirements that we see here in 1 Timothy 3, and compare that with Titus chapter 1. Is that enough? Well, the answer is no. That brings us to number 3. The local church needs to recognize the desire. The local church needs to recognize the desire and needs to judge if the qualifications are met or are fulfilled or not. The local church needs to recognize the desire and needs to judge if the qualifications are fulfilled or not. Who will determine if the man meets the qualifications? The church as a whole is to be watching a life that's before them. The life that this man lives out before them. If the church doesn't recognize God's hand of gifting on that man, then he should not be put into leadership. Even if he has a good personality, even if he meets the qualifications according to him, people must step up and judge according to God's word. We were working toward elders in Mexico City in our assembly there. And one of the areas of service I gave to different men was to read the scriptures in our morning scripture reading. And we had a man who didn't read very well. He had problems with his eyes. He couldn't see very well. But he loves Christ. And there was another man who was pompous, proud, and arrogant, and he read tremendously well. And when the uneducated man would read, the arrogant man would just outwardly be very exasperated. I mean, it'd be like he's reading up here, he makes a few mistakes, and you know where this man, the pompous man, is sitting because he corrected every word out loud when he was reading. And he would say things to me, you know, he shouldn't be up there in front of everybody. And I told him, I would much rather have a man who loves Christ and is doing his best and who misses some words than a man who treats his wife like dirt and is proud and arrogant and thinks he knows it all. And really, that was the description of this man. As you look around Bible Community Church, do you see men who desire to help this body, who meet the spiritual qualifications, and of whom you would say, this man helps us spiritually as a church? He's concerned for people. He's humble. He's willing to sacrifice for people. He shows that he loves them sacrificially. He shows that he puts the interests of others before his own. I believe he is qualified to be an elder in this church. Have you ever approached this theme with those things in mind? Elder elections are not popularity contests. They aren't sympathy votes. Well, I feel bad for him. I'll vote for him. Elder elections do not depend on the wealth of the candidates. They don't depend on their worldly success. They don't depend on their charismatic personality or lack of it. This is so important for the health of our church and for the health of any church. Now, your next space. A church can never be a healthy church. A church can never be a healthy church if the leaders are not focused on the great shepherd of the sheep. A church can never be a healthy church if the leaders are not focused on the great shepherd of the sheep. Why not? Well, leaders who aren't focused on the great shepherd will not lead sheep to the great shepherd. When we did our series on the 50 fruits of pride in our Sunday school class, we spent quite a number of weeks working through the ungodliness of spiritually abusive leadership in churches. Leaders who force and beat the sheep who are members of Christ's body will have to give an account on Judgment Day. Your next space. Sheep don't need to be beaten. Sheep follow the good shepherd. Now, we're not talking about sheep who have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way. All right, there's two different kinds of sheep there. Sheep who, all we like sheep, have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, his servant, the iniquity of us all. But when you come into Christ's fold through repentance and through faith in Christ, then you become one of Christ's sheep. And those sheep follow the good shepherd. My sheep can really ignore my voice if they wish. It doesn't say that. My sheep hear my voice. And if my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, when they start to detour and get off the right path, I will gently and lovingly correct them and discipline them. Sheep follow the good shepherd. Now your next space. If sheep follow the good shepherd, they will follow good under shepherds. If sheep follow the good shepherd, they will follow good under shepherds of the good shepherd. And unfortunately as well, because sheep want to follow Christ, they will also follow bad under shepherds. Because a lot of sheep will say, well, if they got into leadership in the church, they must be, okay, I need to follow them. That's what sheep do. Sheep follow good leaders, sheep follow bad leaders. So it's imperative to have good shepherds. Failure to do this has done and continues to do much damage to the Church of Jesus Christ in the world, in our city even. I know that as a church, throughout the decades of our existence, we have lost a lot of people through times of heavy-handed or abrasive leadership. And I know this because I have met many of them in our community for the past year and a half. Heavy-handed leaders may speak of the gospel of Christ, but if the gospel does not affect their life and their relationships with others, it doesn't matter what they say. And when we did our study on the fruits of pride, we talked about the phrase, when authority says the authority is always right, you need to get away from that kind of authority. The authority is not always right. The authority only has its authority as it follows Christ and his word and its authority. The only right authority all the time is God and his word. And if your leaders are seeking to follow God and his word, graciously follow Jesus Christ, then that is authority that we ought to follow. If elders are overseers and they obey and live Christ's word, they are to be obeyed. If not, they should not be obeyed. But obedience comes with Christ-like following in the shepherds themselves. Your next space, elders or overseers in Christ's church are part of Christ's flock. Elders or overseers in Christ's church are part of Christ's flock. Elders are sheep. Members in a congregation are sheep. We're all Christ's sheep if we've come to him in faith and repentance. Elders in Christ's church are sheep who one time went astray but have been found by the good shepherd. They are not better than anyone else. If they are in leadership, it is a tremendous privilege and a tremendous responsibility to show Christ to the flock. Your next space, the only authority an elder has is the authority of Scripture. The only authority that any elder has is the authority of Scripture. And even then, we don't take Scripture to bash people over the head. We take Scripture and say, this is what Jesus, the Good Shepherd, says. Do you see that? Are we agreed on that? We have to agree that this is what God says. And if we agree with that, then this is the response he requires of us. And you're going to show that we are followers of Christ if we come into obedience and conformity to what the Word of God says. Our authority is not because I said so. Great damage has been done to the church and even to our church because of attitudes like that in the past. Now we ought to ask, do elders and congregants have to understand the dealings of the gospel when we deal with each other? And the answer is absolutely yes. People who don't understand the gospel, we lack warmth in our relationships. That should never be with elders. Christ's people should never walk by one another without any greeting or acknowledgement. Remember that Paul several times says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Be fervent in love to one another. How fervent should we be in our love to one another? As fervent as Christ was, leaving heaven to come to the cross to say, I'm going to die for my enemies. To fail to acknowledge another member of the body of Christ, or to ignore them, or to refuse a warm greeting, is evil. It is disobedience to the commands of Christ. By this will all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It is evil to refuse to love Christ's sheep. And you might say, come on, Mike, you exaggerate. Why is that evil? Well, that kind of attitude shows the world all around us that the professing church is exactly like they are. When the world gets together at events, people pretty much often just stay to themselves. It should never be like that, never, ever be like that in Christ's church. But the real church of Christ, those who truly are in Christ, are not like that. So, when I say something like this, you can hear that. And if you go on saying, oh, it doesn't really matter, then are you really one of Christ's sheep? If you go on and say, you know, I've been like that, but that doesn't please my Savior who loved me when I was a rebel, and he sought me and he bought me and he did everything to draw me to himself and to save me. If that's the case, that's the kind of love I'm supposed to show to others. People who don't show love lack an understanding of different aspects of the gospel. What is the gospel apart from the fact that God saves wretched, vile sinners, his enemies, through Christ in order to put them into his body, which is the church? Elders in Christ's church should understand that without good, strong, biblical, loving leadership, tied to a constant learning of Christ ourselves, so that we may love Christ more, we will never live Christ out in the world or in the walls of our church. And if we as elders won't live that out in the world or inside our church, how can we expect members of a congregation to do that? Elders and prospective elders, think of your responsibilities today before Jesus Christ, the great overseer, the great shepherd of the church. Church members today, if you are not a member, but you call this your church home, this is for you. Think of your responsibilities to submit to the leadership of your elders as they faithfully seek to follow Christ and his word. And then choose according to the scriptures, according to those that you see who meet these guidelines. And may God give us grace to our church to place our leadership, to place into leadership those who meet the biblical requirements and those who live Jesus Christ before us. And we close with the last space on your page today. Christ the shepherd gives his life for his sheep who once were his what? Enemies. Christ the shepherd protects his sheep. Christ the shepherd feeds his sheep. And may God grant grace that all of the elders of Bible Community Church would be men like the Lord Jesus Christ in this way. Father, we recognize that There is but one perfect shepherd, and that is your Son. We all fail in many ways to meet the standard that he has set because he is the God-man. And yet, Father, you have commanded us to seek after Christ, to imitate, be imitators of him. And we need your grace for that. We thank you that if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, cleanses us from all sin. May we constantly keep walking in the light, Father. When we stray from that light, help us to return. Father, draw us back. We are absolutely dependent on you today. So we thank you for your word and how it teaches us. And I pray that you would seal it to our hearts. Help us to think about it. Help us to think of our great Savior, the great shepherd of our souls. We ask that you would give us grace and understanding and wisdom to put these things into practice. And we pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen.